Dear precious Father, and your precious Son, Jesus, Lord, come and abide with us today. Be amongst us.
Amen.
Let your Spirit move in us, Lord. Touch us, Lord, this day. Edify us that we might edify you, Lord. And Lord, as a verse in the song this morning said, let us trust in your perfect time. Yes, Lord. I need to hear that. I think we all need to know that and trust it. So, Lord, let your revelations come. We love you. We honor you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The blower is on permanent. It's been running ever since I've been here. So maybe we should, it's not an automatic, it's on permanent.
I'll fix it.
Okay. There you go. Was that what it was?
I just turned it off.
Okay.
Sort of like, I just pulled the plug on. For sure the fan is stopped.
I know a lot of people don't think they should take the Bible literally, but I think that the opposite would be illiterate, and I think that for the most part that's what people do. But I want to read something and then ask you. In Hebrews, the first chapter, first verse, it says, God, who at sundry times, different times, and in different manners, spake in times past, he spoke, it says, God spoke, unto the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Okay, now the thing is, it says God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. God has spoken to us through his Son. Did God speak? Is that literate? Did he actually speak? Jesus says, I have been given commandment on what to say. I have been told what to say. God said back in Deuteronomy, he says, I am going to put my words in his mouth. So whether he put the words in his mouth and he let his Son know what to say and his Son said it, is it still not God speaking?
Mm-hmm.
It's still God speaking.
Mm-hmm.
His Son was an obedient voice. An obedient temple. Because that's what he was. You know, he was a temple of the Holy Spirit. He was a temple of God. And so, if that's the case, and then in John 1:11, where it says that he came unto his own, they received him not. Jesus was the one speaking, but what was he speaking? He said, I always speak the things that God tells me to speak. So was it God speaking through him? Was it God the one they rejected?
Mm-hmm.
They came under his own and they received him not. And Jesus told us a number of times, he says, when you reject me, you reject the Father. I mean, that's what he said. And so, is that... Are we, you know, when we hear this, read the Bible, are we not hearing what God actually really said? Now, I said that for another reason, but in Matthew 4:4, a verse that we've gotten to know really well, Jesus is in the, being tempted by the devil. And in this verse, the devil said, turn these stones into bread, you know. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. Is that what it's, but by every word. By every word. Well, anyway, just by reading that without thinking, you know, which I have done too many times, man shall not live by bread. What are we talking about? We're talking about food. Man shall not live by food alone. But it takes food, it requires food, to keep the body alive, otherwise we're going to die. But he says, man shall not live by food alone, but by every word. And I was thinking about that the other day, you know what? The truth is, man shall not live by anything alone. He shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so what do we have? We got the frailty of man, the ignorance of man, that we got all of the things, so that man gets revelation, and we got to be careful of the same thing. They get a revelation and they build their house on it. They build their doctrine on it. I mean, we could build everything. We could build a great big thing on just the revelation that we have. And we've only begun to get some of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How many other people have done that? I was just sitting, and I don't know where anybody's going, but, you know, I saw a number of people, you know, it's leaving here. Are they going to church, somebody? Probably, a lot of them. What are they going to get? What is their objective this morning? I mean, I've been there, done that, day after day, after in this church, I've done the same thing. What are they going to get? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God? Or the word that some people like? Like a certain woman, I think she's still alive, that's real... the word I want. We're up, you know, as far as this community, and has been in Christian circles, and she used to make this statement. She says, you know, I really like that verse. Or I really like that verse. And I wasn't there when she said these things, but I happened to know the verses that she liked. And I tell you what, I also know the doctrine that she has. And those verses fit the doctrine that she believes. So that the weakness of man is, I'd like to build a church based on the doctrine that I believe. But the Bible says, man shall not live by food alone, but by every word. And Paul said in the 20th chapter of Acts, and he says, I have not shunned or stopped. I haven't prevented. I said, I have not shunned from declaring, but I have declared the whole counsel of God. Would that be every word? Mm-hmm. I would say so. And so, anyway, the objective that we have has got to be the every word. Because they received not love for the truth, does it not require every word for the truth to come? It doesn't require just the one we like. It's every word. And, you know, that's what I want. I want the every word. And I'm glad that there's a handful of people, but... And when half a dozen, or, you know, half a dozen gone, that's half the church. And, but anyway, I like the thing that God has been putting in us. I want the truth. The whole truth. You know? So help me God. And that's what's happening. And you know what I know? You guys are the same thing. That's what you want the truth. When we started in this, that was not who I was. I was kind of comfortable with the little bits and pieces that we thought we had, you know? I'm not anymore. It's like, Lord, what is the truth? How do you see it? What is your will? And God will bless them, you know. Many are called, but few are chosen. And God has this unbelievable ability to know what are the thoughts that are in people's heads, to know the future, to have foreknowledge. God has that ability. And I was thinking about this morning, I thought, you know, it says that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And then somewhere there, I'm not even sure where it says it, but somewhere it says that, it doesn't seem fair. You know, it doesn't sound fair. But the foreknowledge of God knew the future of both people. He knew what they were going to do. God knows what you're going to do. He knows what I'm going to do. And so we're judged based upon what we're going to do. You know, Jesus says, Peter said, everybody's denying you. No, I won't do it. He says, Peter, before the night is done, you're going to deny me three times. I can imagine Peter, kind of rambunctious and whatever, but in his mind he's thinking, it'll never happen. But God knew that at some point here that he was going to buckle under the pressure. That was a lot of pressure. Here's the man that they have been following, that they loved, and all of a sudden, now he's in captivity. A lot of pressure. But anyway, I get more, but I won't stop right there.
So how do you get the truth? You don't get it from me. You're not going to get it from anybody else. There's only one way.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it from man. That's for sure.
No.
No. I mean, you talk to your neighbor and he might say, well, this says this, this says this, but that's just your neighbor's opinion. You know, to get the truth, you got to go to God's word, like you said.
And that's why Jesus said in John 8:31-32, the one of the verses that we've been quoting and talking about, he said, if you get to hear my word, you're my disciple. And then you'll know the truth. You know? So eventually, slowly, as we do it, that's why God blesses those in Psalms. Bless those who delight, their delight is in the Word of God. And on this Word do they meditate day and night. I've never been there. All of a sudden I became an old man, in the process, in the last days, I want to know, I want to get everything out of it from God that I can get. Mm-hmm. And we're talking, I think it was last week, I said, I'm not planning on any retirement. Mm-hmm. That's not in my agenda. As long as I can keep doing something for God, I want to do it.
You started out today by saying, you know, literally take the literal word of the Bible, and then you went back to Matthew 4:4. And while we were on that, maybe a little inside or not, but realizing Jesus is talking to the devil. So you have the perfect man talking to a spirit, and he says, man, which isn't either one of them, shall not live by bread alone. So literally, people go, well, life and death. I don't think he's talking about life and death. I think he's talking about eternal life.
Yeah, I do.
Too. Right now he's saying to the devil, man's not going to live by food alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. In other words, right. He was defining to the devil, the word of God is going to be how man has eternal life.
Yeah, I think you're right. But, that same thought he'd be.
But the literal, you start off by saying, well, is that what that says literally? No. And I don't know of anymore if I look at the word of God literally. I look at it literally scripturally.
Yeah.
I don't look at it literally by the letter. Because we have found through God's Holy Spirit that the word, the letters that are here, aren't really the word of God that's trying to be portrayed. We need the Spirit. Oh, so much.
It says the Spirit of the letter.
Spirit of the letter. Yeah. But it just kind of occurred to me. And then after you started out with that lead, I go, and it's kind of interesting, because here's Jesus talking to the devil, and he talks about man, and it's almost like third person. All of these people are not going to live by food, by bread alone.
Yeah, I guess that's probably not really the way what I meant, but what Glenn was saying. The thing that we have to accept the whole scriptures. We can't take what we want. And meaning literal, it's like you got to believe what it says. Yeah. Man shall not live by bread alone.
And you can't pick and choose.
We can't pick and choose.
There's no favorites parts. I mean, you might like some. Some are easier than others.
Yeah.
You read this and go, oh, I'm so short. Oh, I'm so not here.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to tie in or not, but I happened to open up the Bible this morning in Samuel, and I came across this setting that really register. We say God's in control of everything. There's a whole build up to when Saul's going to get appointed king, because the people wanted a king, and God said, okay, because you don't want me and you want a king, I'll give you your wishes. So it starts out pretty good, but as Samuel is so I'm going to read 10:5. So Samuel saying to Saul, after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them. And here's the part that really caught me. And be turned into another man. Turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you shall do. So it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, now listen to this one, that God gave him another heart. And all those signs come to pass that day. And I thought, see, incredibly, God can change you. He can touch you, change your heart. But you know what? You can still, in the end, go away from him. Because Saul did.
Free will.
Yeah. He had all this on him. Of course, God knew down the road, speaking of foreknowledge, that he was going to have a better king, David. You know. And then Saul just kind of come unraveled, you know, after a while. Because after a while, obviously, he didn't keep his trust in the Lord. He started thinking on his own. But I was thinking this morning after I read that, and I got here and I was kind of praying and repenting a little. And I said, Lord, I need you to touch my heart. I need you to make me another man, you know?
Yeah.
Which he can obviously do, you know. But I don't want to lose what you do in the end. I want to keep it till the end, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was such an interesting set of, you know, scriptures. Mm-hmm. And especially being Saul, of all people, you know, that's what was done to him in the beginning. So that he would do, for a time, he would be what God wanted, because they wanted a king. He would be his king, you know. So, yeah.
I think Saul was a tall man.
Yeah, it said he was the tallest from the shoulders up.
Yeah.
He was over, that's how much taller he was than the rest of the people.
And I also think he was a real shy individual. Was it him that, when they were going to make him king, and I think Samuel was there, and he hid himself?
Well, yeah, it says he was in the, I read that. He was in with the implements or something. He was hiding in the machinery or whatever.
And so Samuel said, this was later on when, you know, he said, when you were little in your own eyes, God made you king over Israel. When you were little in your own eyes, but he got big in his own eyes.
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah.
So, you know, like you had said, so who was speaking when Saul prophesied?
Well, that's...
Who was speaking when the prophets before him prophesied? You know, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
And, you know, there's been a lot of controversy. And I mean, we even had that in Seattle. It's like, you know, thinking that Jesus had a dual nature. And there's nothing in the scripture that says that. Jesus had one mindset, and it says that, you know, we should have the mind of Christ, and it says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. And a man that never varied from his purpose is the only one ever.
Yeah.
And so he did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. So God could say, even before he's through, he could say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He could have said that concerning things that hadn't taken place yet, because God's foreknowledge works that way. And see, that, I don't understand that, but that's what the Bible says. And I guess that's kind of what I'm saying. We need to read it and believe it and not question it. And the thing is, even if it doesn't make sense and we don't understand,
easy for you to say.
Eventually the Spirit will straighten it out.
Amen.
Yeah, eventually God, the Holy Spirit will straighten the thing out for us.
Amen.
And hasn't that happened? Mm-hmm. I was convinced 20 years ago that there was a dual nature. Because I was taught that for so long. It's like he had his own whatever, and it looks like that he could have had his own will, But he never used it. Because he said, you know, on the cross, he said, or before the cross, he said, nevertheless, not my will. But in the prayer that he made, we don't even see any separation between God's will and his. If it be possible. And I mean, that's not saying, Lord, I want you to change it. He says, if it be possible. Well, it wasn't possible.
Yeah. He was giving God the opportunity to change his mind. If God wanted to change his mind, he was okay with it. Yeah. He was not saying he wasn't going to follow God's will.
But nevertheless, and you know, that's hard.
It's incredibly hard.
Yes, that's hard.
And you know, though, the promise God gives says that you can get these things because he says, I will write it in their hearts and on their minds. So that means it can be done.
Yeah.
He's promised that he would do that. So eventually, you will have it written in your heart and on your mind if you have a love for the truth and, you know.
Continue on.
Yeah.
I was going to say something about this before we had the tape on, but a week ago I had a call from Stephen Terry, and Terry was telling me she was at a meeting someplace, and there was a woman that was a fourth. Did I say this before?
I think you told us Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Oh, but anyway, this woman was given, there's a book that's called Visions Beyond the Veil. And for years, they would not let the Chinese people in a lot of the villages, it was prohibited to have a Bible. They have, you know, it was prohibited. And so they would go down, if they found Bibles, they'd kill the people. And so, in spite of all of this, a revival broke out in one of these villages that had no contact with the Word of God. Nothing. No contact with Christianity. And God began to fill a lot of young men and women with the Holy Spirit. And guess what happened? They began to prophesy and speak the Word of God. So it's like we have an advantage because we have it. We think. But God can do it even if they don't have it.
Yeah, with God, all things are possible, isn't that?
Yeah. So
that's showing forth, you know.
But what an opportunity. And I look at it and I think, who wouldn't want this? If the man finds a pearl in the field, he goes and sells everything he has to buy the field. Is that what it says? And when you discover, and it says in Hebrews 6, it says, if you taste it, the Word of God is good. You taste it. That's a funny way to put it, isn't it? You taste the Word of God. But I'd like the taste of it. And Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then in John 14 it says, John 1:14 says, the Word of God, the Word was made flesh. In some translations it says the Word became flesh. So if the Word, you know, if the Word became or was made flesh, well, that's what it says. If the Word was made flesh, and Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, is it more than some other thing that we're trying to understand? Is the Word of God, was he the Word? Did he become the Word? That's what it says, the Word was made flesh. And so, I didn't mean to throw that one out there, but...
she did.
Yeah, so instead of looking at that literal in the print, you look at it spiritual. Well, if he was the word, then you're eating his word or him, because he is word.
What's the difference?
Yeah, I mean, so it's spiritual. It's not, you're not actually eating his flesh.
It's not cannibalism.
Yeah, right.
Try and make it not literal. It's you're taking it spiritually, consuming the word of God.
Right.
So is that not what we're doing? By the constant intake of God's word?
Yes, but I wouldn't want anyone to think that we're doing it at the same level of perfection that Christ did.
No.
But no. We are asking God to put it on our heart, and we are seeking Him.
But, and then that, I think you quoted it in Hebrews where it says that, that God's going to make a new covenant. And God is going to write the word. Does it, if God's going to write it in there, does it help that we obey Psalms 1 and meditate on it day and night? Does that help?
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what? Even if we do that day and night, it without the Holy Spirit, we still don't know what we got it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I played that song today because I thought it was appropriate where we're at in His perfect time.
Yeah, that really
struck me.
It explains why there are wonderful people who have been consuming the Word of God for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And we're not all at the same place, and the difference has got to be the Holy Spirit. What revelation they have and what revelation they don't have. And that's not their choosing, it's God's. And once you get happy, I mean, you sit there and say, I don't know what this means. And you go, and that's a good thing because God hasn't shown me yet. And become happy with that, in that, I think you're in a better place, because I think then you actually take away a barrier from the Holy Spirit, because you're not trying to drive that bus.
Right.
You're letting God drive the bus. And it, we mentioned it in many other ways, like come before God as little children and be patient and being humble. And so we do all the things to keep knocking down what the enemy might try and bring. But one of the things that has truly freed me is, you know, someone says, well, what does this mean? And I go, don't have a clue. And I don't feel that I have to defend that to someone else, because I'll go, God hasn't told me yet. And I know it is sin to try and make something up to appease this conversation. Because now you're putting your hand on the ark.
Be small in your own eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, of course,
the fact that person needs to rely on the Spirit, not you.
Well, right, but if we've all been in these conversations where someone thinks they know something and you're going, well, I just don't see that way with what I've been given. Mm-hmm. So in the past, in most church circles, you tend to attack someone who is lacking that revelation because you've told them, well, you know this means this. Well, no, I really don't know it. I know you think you know this. I can't make it work yet. But God is bigger than all this, and He will. But because it comes back to repentant and waiting on God. And that just goes against everything in our natural fibers. Especially as we get older. We look at the hourglass and we go, I'm not really happy with this. I don't have a lot of time left. And I keep telling myself, your time doesn't count. And what can God do in the last sand?
Yeah.
On the last thing.
Yeah.
Oh, got it all.
Yeah. The lower human nature is an enemy. And so somebody asks you a question, you know, And you've been listening to the scriptures day and night for years. And your lower nature doesn't want them to think that you don't know the answer. So if you could say, I don't know yet, that's a major victory. It's a victory.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, and this is a strange thing, that there were times that Jesus said that he didn't know the answer.
He did. No one knows.
Yeah.
And no one knows. And that includes him, and then you go, that's a pretty big statement.
Yeah.
No one knows the time.
Which also shows humanity.
Yeah, and patience and trusting God, all the things that we're looking for.
Yeah, otherwise, if he was equal to God, he would know the answer. You know what I mean?
You mean like if he was God?
Yeah, if he was God the Son, he would know those answers.
Yep.
Of course, I was just thinking, somebody goes, oh yeah, but that's when he was acting as man, he didn't know when he was, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody really
start to put round pegs or square pegs around holes.
Yeah,
when you do that.
Right.
And finally, you know, I think you're working too hard to make this fit.
Yeah.
But along those lines, I just had a little testimony. I shared a little bit on Tuesday night, but I played that song in perfect time, kind of for me today. Because my walk in the world these last few years has been trying. But I have clung on in faith with very little natural signs that says, yeah, that makes sense. You're making good choices. But God is honoring things. Things are happening. Looks like things I might hope might turn out. And all it really took was for me to literally give it up. And I know I had a kind of a, in the world, I think the word we use is epiphany, but I don't know, just came to a place in my conversation with God and said, you know, if all I have from now until the end of my days is to seek you and to learn you more, I'm happy with that. Content's such a bad word because it kind of means you're idling, but I don't mean that. But I mean, if nothing else in the natural changes and I can continue to find you and you can continue to show through your mercy of revelation to me, I'm going to feel fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, some people will be like saying, if I never catch another fish, I'd be happy with my life.
Yeah.
Or I never watch another football game. to bring it back, I was picking things I think might relate. But I did. I did, and I came to a place, and I look back at scripture, it's kind of like, as soon as a person made the decision, thank God bless it. But it took the act of free will. You know, Job had to say, I am not going to curse God. And then, well, here we go, 2x. And, you know, we know this. I mean, his word tells us this. So it's like the promises in the Bible are just amazing. You can move mountains if your will aligns with God's will. So, anyways, I'm just saying that God has been faithful and has kept me. And I thank him.
I had a little experience the other morning. And you know, the Spirit of the Lord kept on you at different times. Different things happened. I was listening to the scriptures on the salvation of Paul and how it all took place. And you know, I was so affected by that. I thought, What are the chances? What are the chances? This guy is a murderer. He's killing off Christians. And the next thing we know, he's on the Damascus Road, and this brilliant light kind of throws him, I don't know if he's on a horse or what it is, but it threw him to the ground. And he realized that this wasn't something that he was familiar with, you know what I mean? And Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then he makes a statement, he says, who are you? And I you know, my thoughts were, how could he even ask that question?
Does it really matter at this point?
How could he ask it? And so the voice of and you hear it from a different way, several different times. One place it says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth. You know, where he quotes it. And why are you kicking against the goads? The pointed sticks that they use to have animals, you know, go to what they do, what they want them to do. They poke them with it. And you think, oh, here's his experience with Stephen and other things that are happening along the way. But anyway, I sat and wept. I thought, who is this God that worships this? That most people don't believe that he exists. Who is it that can do these things and be so awesome? And we ignore him.
Yeah, he did about the same thing, actually, with both Sauls. You know?
Yeah.
He made him a different man and changed his heart.
Yeah, one day he's killing them all, the next day he's preaching the gospel.
That was why he was killing the others.
Well, the Jews weren't too fooled. They go, the Jews weren't too fooled when they saw Paul show up. They go, hey, we know this guy. He's not good.
Yeah. Even Ananias, that was called to pray for him. Ananias says, I know who this is.
You sure you are?
He's not so good.
You sure that's the guy that's supposed to go to?
You have a second choice.
Yeah.
But isn't that exactly how, I mean, you think about it, isn't that exactly how God's plan is?
Yeah.
He basically goes to the most ardent opposition to what he's doing, and he turns him. And he says, this is the guy that was killing you for your faith, is now going to be bringing you into greater truths for your faith.
Yeah, he's a chosen vessel.
Yeah.
And see, many are called, but few are chosen. Well, he was a chosen vessel. And he didn't seem to be called.
I like how it ended, a chosen vessel of mine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is that what Trump is?
Pardon?
Is that what Trump is?
That depends on who you ask.
Yeah,
it depends on who he is. I know some of them that wouldn't say they would at all.
Mm-hmm. God chose them all. Mm-hmm. Obama. Yeah.
But there's nobody that gets an office that God doesn't put in there.
Okay. Right. Well, that's for a reason.
So you fight those that God puts in, and you fight God. You know? Well, Charlie and Dean are in Alaska, and Pablo Candy or up in Sisavega. So.
And we're here. and we're here.
Yes, we are. And I'm glad to see Landbar. And I'm glad that they can enjoy their camping. I'm glad that Pablo Candy can, you know.
In the rain or not.
Yeah, we can get along without them, but it's nice. It's a lot better when they're here. The hard thing for me to accept is the fact that God can get along without me too. You know.
Well, the good news is you still have time to fix that.
Yeah.
But the bad thing in my part is I don't want him to.
Yeah. I think that's fair. I think you've said more than once, but I want to be one of the chosen ones.
But you know what? God called me for something and he hasn't done yet. You know, he's just not done. And I know it. And I'm not even sure what it is. He's also called you for something, and he's not done it to you either, you know.
Well, you know, if we knew what God called us for to do something, we would do it without God. We would know what we were doing.
Yeah,
and that's what would happen. We would go ahead and take over and do it. Yeah. Not let God do it. So it's better that we don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, the slippery part of that is people go, I know there's a calling, so, and then they go, so I better start doing it, you know, and they don't realize, no, not till God, you might be called, but don't do it till he calls you to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And they, yeah, and so they go off, and then eventually you can lose the calling because...
And then you get older and older and older and older. And you know what, I think about Moses. He was 120 years old, and his eyesight was as good as what was as a kid.
Yeah.
But he... And all of a sudden...
You're forgetting that other little part, though. He lived to be, what, like 900 years?
Who?
Moses?
I think 120.
Am I... Character's wrong? I thought he lived longer than that.
No, I think that's when they started. By then, it was...
What happened? Moses didn't go into the Promised Land. And the reason he didn't is because...
He struck the rock twice.
And God told him to strike the rock out in the desert. In the Sinai desert, is that where they were?
I think so.
And he said,
I don't know if it says.
To strike the rock. And I don't know why Moses hit it twice, but he hit it twice. And because of it, it says he couldn't go and see it. To hit the rock once was you know, the life of Christ and the end of it. That's what it was all about. He only had to die once.
It was his impatience because the water didn't come right away.
Yeah. And because Moses got impatient.
Yeah.
Joshua had to...
But he didn't say just hit it once. He said just hit it.
Yeah, just strike the rock. Just strike the rock.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's what that is.
So now, I just thought of that. So is that... So what is the Promised Land in... So that mean he didn't go to heaven?
No.
So, well, I mean, because, you know...
Yeah.
So then it's like, well... Of course, I suppose in Moses' eyes it would have been, because God had been leading him all along to get there, and that was supposed to be the end result, and then you don't get to do it. I suppose that was kind of a punishment, but I think Moses knew he was going to be with God no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just didn't get the physical life.
Yeah, right.
He just didn't get to cross the Jordan and come against Jericho and Ai and all these other little places.
And he accepted it as such.
Yeah, he knew.
He knew, and it was okay.
It would have been interesting to know what he saw in that promised land. Oh. How far beyond he saw. You know?
Yeah.
And you see the new world and all this stuff coming yet, or what? What did he see? That's always going to be a mystery. You know?
Maybe he didn't want to come back. You know?
But once he saw it, he died.
Well, the Lord kind of let him see quite a bit about what was going to happen, because he told them what they needed to do and follow the law, and then that they were going to fail at that, and he knew. I mean, the Lord showed him quite a bit,
and he knew he couldn't change it.
And you are exactly right, Keith, and I was wrong. Moses was 120 with undimmed eyes. And Scripture says exactly that. Mm-hmm. 120 with undimmed eyes.
Undimmed, wow.
Yeah.
And who was 900? Methuselah?
How many years did he live? Was it Methuselah that lived the longest?
Yeah, he lived just a few years longer though than
907 years.
Yeah.
We make a courtly gift is concordance.
Isn't it kind of a given that it, because of man's fall, that's why slowly the years kept getting less, because of the weight of sin on the world?
That's not because of evolution?
Did Jesus say man's year should be about 70 at one point? I think it was 70, but
yeah,
you know,
basically,
yeah, you know, you're going to live 120 years, or, well, some people do get close to that, but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, there's always exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not in such great shape at the end. Even with all our doctors and everything. Yeah.
I'm thinking 940.
Well, that's in spite
of. Well, Methuselah was 969.
He was what?
969. And then Jared was 962, number two. And I thought the longest one for a moment was Noah at 950 after Methuselah. I didn't remember Jared. Fourth longest was Adam, who lived 930 years, and Seth was the fifth longest of 912.
So they just started declining after that.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Well, Adam lived shorter than Noah, but I think Noah had to repopulate the world.
So there was a reason for his use.
Oh, I think he got some bonus time, but I'm just teasing. But it's close. But Methuselah, 969. Wow. But it is interesting. Noah, Moses, who considered to have a long life, when they got out of, was it 3 or 2 in the desert, was at 120. So it changed pretty rapidly.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of time, I think, though, between
there is a lot of
the ark and Moses.
Yeah.
Right? They're probably.
Well, you know,
400 or maybe even more years.
If people lived that long, there had to be a lot of those that died at the flood.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah. Something about the timeline in the beginning of the gospel, about 14 generations to one point, and then 14 generations. To like David and the 14 generations to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who the first marking point there, if that was Abraham or what. So, anyways, sorry for that down the rabbit hole.
If it all started with Adam and Eve,
now we're here, and we have all this population.
Yeah, I think it was Adam and Eve to, like, Abraham, and then Abraham to David, and then David to Christ. I think that's what it is.
Well, you know, Ken read something just recently that explains a whole bunch of questions that I have had in my mind. And the fact that Melchizedek, God made him.
Yeah.
He said God made him.
Yeah, that's such a...
how many times have we... I've read that 50 times, at least.
Yeah.
At least. And never saw made.
We need a whole lot of... I mean, there's a whole lot more revelation that's got to come there. I mean, we've literally been talking about Melchizedek since I started coming to the church 30 years ago. I mean, even back in community chapel every now and then, it'd pop up, but someone would try and put some understanding behind it, and it's a very short conversation because it's almost total speculation.
Right.
There's so little.
There's only two settings, and not very long settings.
Yeah, not a lot with them. Yeah.
But didn't mean to cut you short. I mean,
So if God, I mean, God couldn't act. He made Adam and Eve. Could he make others?
Yeah.
Where did Cain and Seth get their wives?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. It looks like that in there.
You know what I mean?
Now, you know, it could have been. Who's to say? Because in that day, the man was still more pure in a sense. That it could have been sisters, and God made it okay because he wanted
to. But what it says is that they went into the land of somewhere and got a wife. And it's like, how is that possible?
Yeah, evidently. Well.
Was it Cain, maybe?
I don't know. But, you know, maybe God leaves out a lot of children born from Adam and Eve that went off.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
It's
weird. Those things are kind of odd when all of a sudden you even notice them. Well, you know?
If they weren't getting back to David to show where Christ is coming from, they become, non-players towards our salvation.
Right.
And so.
Yeah, a lot of times, probably millions of people got never recognized because they knew they weren't going to be his.
How big would this Bible be if we recognized it?
Well, yeah, right.
Brother John tried to answer that. But his John, it's interesting, John 21:25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he kind of says, it's more than you can record.
Yeah.
So, and that's ignoring all the people we just talked about.
Yeah.
As long as my name is in the book of life, I'm okay.
Isn't that really all it comes down to?
Yep.
You know, I admit that's a much easier, you can get to that place a lot easier when you get older in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if you say that when you're 25. And there's still this ambition and drive.
I'm hoping, but I wasn't okay with it.
like I said, I sat down one day, kind of took stock, reflected, and said, if this is all God has for me, I'm going to be happy in it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of details left out.
Yeah, I think so. These are just equipment.
It says that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and went into the land of Nod.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says then he knew his wife. That's what it says. Where'd she come from?
And then you know what I've noticed? You think, okay, you go to Genesis to find out. But down the road in Genesis, it might give another view of what happened back here. It gets repeated in a different way or recorded in a different way. You know, that happens quite a bit. Where you get into the next book or something, and then it, and you get the, where it was passed down, and you get more detail, you know, than the way it was first recorded.
Well, it's kind of like the whole chronicle section of the Bible to kind of give you the parallel path.
And then this, it's like you could hear the Lord saying, what do you want to know?
Yeah. Why do you want to know?
Whatever it is.
You know, and I, if you read when Moses is dictating all that they're supposed to do, there is no way a man could have come up with all those regulations and you know, statutes and, oh my goodness, it's like, it just, it goes page after page after page, and it's like, how in the world did they remember to do it all? You know?
Yeah.
Or try to do it all.
Yeah, God...
Well, they did have television.
God had to dictate.
Or iPads,
right? Oh, my. The first iPhone.
Yeah, think about those first... Yeah, is that Leviticus? I mean, how... What kind of reading is that? And yet he wrote, you know, he dictated it to Moses. Yeah. I mean, whew.
And of course, that's one of the reasons it was... it was good that... Moses was taught in the higher learning of the Egyptians. Yeah. Which allowed him to do it. But I mean, that's a lot of writing.
Yeah.
I remember.
Well, yeah, you can really, especially when you don't have artificial light, I mean, unless you're writing by camera, by firelight, I mean, it's, man, those people.
I think a lot of it, I'm sure he spoke it and he made sure there were scribes to write it as he spoke it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it. Because it says he stood before the congregation and then he told them all. So there had to be, you know, in their day, I'm sure there was always, when anybody prophesies or speaks, there better be somebody writing this down, you know.
Yeah, how would we have it?
Right.
It was. And if everything that, if everything was in the Bible, like you say, I was left out, and if everything was in here, you wouldn't need God then, because you'd have all the answers.
Yeah.
So it's, a lot of things left out for a reason.
Clearly don't have all the answers.
And John said, he said that, there are many other things that were done. But he said, but these are written
for you
that you might have eternal life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is what's important.
This is all you need.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what about the, what are they called? The big reptiles? The
dinosaurs?
What about the dinosaurs? And you know what my answer is? I didn't even care.
Mm-hmm. I did have one time to figure out where the Dark Ages, all this came in and how it all, you know. Mm-hmm. Because it would be an interesting study, I think, to figure out the time frame of, you know, the beginning of man and then all this other stuff and, you know, cavemen or whatever you want to call them. And then, you know, I did have an interest at one time in it because it would be interesting, you know. But I don't, like you say, it don't matter now. But, you know.
I might thought lately is, so you can have something like global warming and the world still goes on. Because it did once already.
I know.
A couple different things already.
God can overcome it.
Yeah.
If God wanted men to be stumbled by certain things, he could create that as well.
Yeah, which he has done.
You know what I mean? He could create fossils. He could create anything.
See, if you believe that God created Adam, then there is no caveman.
Yeah, I understand.
I had to look at that too. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like, well, wait a minute.
Bible doesn't say that.
Yeah, you're trying to evolution, because they try to make you go back to something simpler that got more complicated as it evolved, which
yeah.
God said, no, there's no evolving. I just made it. I created it. Boom.
Yeah. If man evolved from apes, why are there still apes?
Yeah.
I don't see apes in here.
Some of that is so crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Add a billion years and then anything can happen, right?
Well, yeah.
But you don't have proof of it. Billion.
We went out fishing yesterday. I saw a caveman put the boat in the lake. And the fact that he didn't drown, I don't know.
Speaking about self here, Harvey?
Huh?
Speaking of self?
No, no.
Oh.
No, 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 no. They were trying to Chuck and David were trying to get me out of the boat. And there was another guy that came along on the pier, and he came over there and he said he needs some help. And it took three of them to get me out of the boat. It wasn't too bad getting in. You kind of fall in, but
that's why.
Ride home in the boat.
Why do you go fishing anymore? Because last time I was in a boat, I had to crawl out on my hands and knees.
I've done that.
That's it. I'm done.
Love you all.